This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the lead stories are, oh, I screwed that up completely. A censorship's slippery slope. Huawei and ZTE are on the DNC warning list. MoviePass once again makes a change to the plan. And some senators want answers from Google on China. I want to welcome you to episode 1303 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, August 6th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today by becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners of the show. Of course, if you're brand new to the podcast, I want to welcome you as well. Being new really means one thing. All you got to do is take just a few moments and visit geeknewscentral.com. Let me try that again. Visit geeknewscentral.com. Get signed up for the show by subscribing. And you can subscribe to the podcast right on the right-hand column of the website, whether it be via Apple Podcasts, on Android, by email, Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or use an old-school RSS feed that powers the podcasting space. Subscribe to the show. That way you get this show delivered automatically to your mobile device. We want you to do that. That way you'll stay connected with the team here, with the Ohana. And of course, sign up for our newsletter as well. You'll find that link on the website as well. And more importantly, visit geeknewscentral.com on a regular basis to see all the great content my content creators are putting up there. I definitely write a decent check every month to make sure that we have fresh content on the website. And I got a great writing team that's putting that together. Of course, you can join our chat room. Our chat room is a Mastodon server. For those of you that are geeks out there, you can go over to geeknews.chat, geeknews.chat. Join the Mastodon. Join in. Get in on the federated timeline. Hang out with the geeks. Share information. We want you to do that. So geeknews.chat. Sign up. Add your account. That way you can join in and submit stuff for the show and chit-chat there. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can do so via email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. You can join our Slack channel as well. So we got all kinds of cool ways to connect. Join the Slack channel. Send me an email. Say you want to join the Slack channel. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on Apple TV. Just by searching for Geek News Central. You can listen on Stitcher or Blueberry.com. You can listen to this show on all the smart home devices, whether it be an Amazon device, whether it be from Google Home or Microsoft. All I have to do is use the keyword to say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. That'll get you going in most instances. So a little bit of variances may be required, but you'll get the latest episode right off the bat, play for you right in your home via smart speaker. Of course, partner shows include the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain. We've got the Pro Gear site being written by the GNC team at progear.guru. The New Media Show at newmediashow.com with my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee. And the Podcast Legends Show at podcastlegends.com. This show is sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. They've been with us since June of 2005, and I will be straight up. We're off to a slow start for August. So I need everyone to step up to the plate. I'm looking at the date. I'm looking at where we should be, and we're behind. So, you know, there's great deals to be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And all my codes are there. 30% off. 30% off new product purchases. And let me get that straightened out. 30% off new product purchases. You can get a .com for 99 cents. You can get $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain. $1 a month for a year. $12. you need to use $1 a month for managed WordPress hosting, again, for the first year with a free domain. So again, you get Hosting Launch, you get up and running for $12, including a free domain, or just get a .com for 99 cents, or pick one of the other products and services and get 30% off. Or if you're a business owner, 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All my codes can be found at geekinessentral.com/GoDaddy. They all start with CJC. In the middle is GNC, then the offer. CJGNC 30, CJC GNC 99, CJC GNC 1HS, CJC GNC WP 1, CJC GNC free. All those promo codes are there for you to use. Get connected. Let's get some sales going. Talk to this with your friends, family members, people that you know. Let them know there's great deals to be had here. Link to this page from your social media accounts, whether it be Twitter or Facebook. Just link it up. Go grab it off the website. Tell your friends. And that is as good as a donation. Whenever you do that, it really helps the show a lot. Helps the page rank on the website, the whole nine yards. So definitely go out and share the codes. GoDaddy's got a great lineup of products and services. I mean, a really great lineup of products and services. Everything that you can ever consider that you would ever need to get up and running, whether it be a small business, whether it be a blog, whether you're thinking about starting a podcast, you can get the website set up. It's really, we've got everything you need over there. And definitely get over to geekinessentral.com/GoDaddy. It's a place to go to start your shopping experience. Use my codes, share the codes wide and with everyone that you know. All right, everybody, thanks so much for your ongoing support with GoDaddy. And we definitely appreciate GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, so let's get into a little bit of what's been happening on Saturday. Is it today? Today's actually Monday. on Saturday, had an absolute monster new media show with Rob Greenlee. And for the first 20 minutes or so, it was just Rob. And then we had a gentleman join us from Radio Inc. To talk about the radio side of podcast movement. And for the first time, I think, ever, I got a little bit of hate tweets. I guess that's the best word to say it. And it was specifically from one individual who said I was down on radio. And for those of you that have been on this journey with me here, and we're doing this show and my involvement, heavy involvement in the podcasting space, as you know, I've never been down on radio. In the beginning, we all had this false hope that podcasting would kill the radio star. And it hasn't, and it won't for the time being. But I think there's a certain arrogance by radio folks today, a certain arrogance that their place in the world is assured from now until millennium. And I'd be honest with you, I see, you know, I've got kids ranging 14, 20, 22 and 27. I see how they use media. I see how they connect to things online, whether it be YouTube or Pandora or Spotify or Hulu. I watch how they're doing, how they're getting connected to the online world. And I look at their friends and I just watch and I observe. And if you've done any of that, you will know that that age group has a whole different perspective on media today and how it's being consumed. They don't care about CNN, Fox, MSNBC. They don't care about any of that. They really don't. They don't care about Morning Drive. They don't care about jocks. They don't care about traffic. Why? Because there's an app for that. And that's what they use. They have an app for everything. And right on their mobile devices, my 20-year-old son upgraded to an iPhone 10. Matter of fact, I just saw it on the kitchen table. I was like, who got this? He said, I did. And I'm like, oh, you know, and, you know, he earned it. He paid cash for it. So, you know, good for him. Except he's got some bills to pay. So I was giving him the little evil eye. But this is how they stay connected and view the world. They don't turn on the radio. I get into my, if my kids have driven my car, I get in the car. And the first thing I have to do, I know, is they've either used aux or Bluetooth, one or the other in the car. I have to go in and usually switch it to Bluetooth. If it's on Bluetooth, my phone automatically syncs up. I'm good. But more than likely, if my daughter's been in the car, it's on aux. If my son's been on, it's on Bluetooth. So I kind of know that it's never on AM. It's never on FM. So I'm not down on radio, but I think radio has some issues ahead. If you look at the iHeartRadio app, and then you compare that to Pandora and Spotify and Apple Music, it's just a part of market share. You know, iHeart's just beep. It's just a blip as compared to everyone else out there. So I'm not down on radio, but been working with the radio folks a lot for at least 5 years now. And the majority of them, well, majority of them are pretty arrogant and don't think that they need to take any advice or listen. And you know, advice is cheap, right? And opinions are cheap. But we've also got some time behind seeing good strategies that these folks could use. And oftentimes they don't. So we'll see what happens with radio. But we spent 2.5 hours talking about podcast movement. It was a long show. We're going to have Rob Walsh from Libsyn going to join us this coming Saturday. It's going to be another one, another deep dive. A lot of stuff going on in the space that we're watching. And I'm very excited about what's happened with Google Podcasts for you Android users. It is remarkable. And if you have an Android phone and you haven't tested this yet, just load the Chrome browser, search for Geek News Central. You're going to find the little podcast app. Press the button, see more. And when it loads, in the Pipper, the little double Pipper tab up in the right-hand corner, click on that, and you're going to see add to your homepage or add to your mobile desktop. And it's going to put an icon on the website, and it's going to be, now you'll have Geek News Central one click right there. It's an app for everybody. If you have an Android device and you don't know what I'm talking about, come over to geeknewscentral.com and click on the Google Podcast link on the Geek News Central website. It'll take you to the same app. When the app loads, then again, all you got to do from that point forward is adjust the settings and also set it up so it drops a icon right on your mobile device, just like any other app. So that is just part of the stuff that we talked about during the 2.5 hours. So lots going on. Lots. Now, before I get into the regular content here, rest of the weekend was catching up on Honeydew. Had to go to a wedding on Saturday afternoon. And it was great. It's kind of weird. We haven't been to a wedding in a long, long time. These young adults are not getting married. They have girlfriends, they're shacking up. And when they do shack up, they have kids and they're not getting married. So a couple that are great family friends, they've been together a long time. They have a child together. We went to the wedding. They finally decided to make it official. And I was really touched by the oldest girl. She had absolute tears of joy and was hugging her dad and her mom, and she was, I think, and I just saw, you know, just this, she was so happy that this was actually happening. It meant a lot to her, and it really touched me. And I talked to her after the ceremony, and then we were at the reception. I gave her a hug, and And I told her, I can tell you're really happy today. And she was beaming. So, for me, that was, kind of made my day. It really did. But, anyway, that's kind of, and then Sunday, I don't know, I had a bunch of stuff doing. So, yeah, busy around here, but that's the life. That's, you know, I'm just doing the thing here, going through the motions of life and, trying to keep my head above water on stuff. Okay. Lots of ums today. Not good. All right. So let me go ahead and get into the first topic. And this is, you know, this is coming. So if Apple, Facebook, and Spotify, YouTube have all yanked Alex Jones InfoWars for what they are determining or what they're saying is hate speech. Now, this is all over the news. It's all over social media. I've never listened to InfoWars. I've seen like snippets of his video stuff some places when it's like I see it comes over a Facebook page or something like that. If he's saying hate speech, if he has truly hate speech and he's really truly invoking violence and there's instances of that, well, you know, I understand why Apple, Facebook, and Spotify have done this. They're under a lot of social pressure. And we're under incredible social pressure to do so. But I'm also concerned. And this removal of his network's content from those sites is what it is. And until someone says, you know, go to episode 86 and go to 5 minutes and 42 seconds and listen to that 60 seconds. Someone can actually point out, I'm sure someone's got all these, all this stuff mapped out in his content. But YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple talked in generalities. They didn't cite specific things. Initially, Spotify had only removed like 6 episodes. And then today they came back and pulled everything. And we're talking about his podcast. So I'm a staunch protector of freedom of speech. And I'm really against censorship. And while these companies were likely fully justified to remove the content, and again, I don't listen and haven't heard the specific content that basically got him banned and delisted from these platforms, I think we have to be careful because we're in such a hypersensitive time right now that people are triggered and go off on the littlest thing. And again, I'm not condoning. I'm not saying he didn't say these things. Let's just be clear on that. So you guys don't come back and double barrel shotgun me here. But on the broad side of things, let's look at the global. Let's look at content globally. If you are going to press for censorship on content and silence voices that you don't agree with, that's kind of scary. Now, again, if they're saying hate and invoking violence, you know, that's uncalled for and it should be removed from those platforms. He's free to continue to run his own website and if he can find a service provider that will support him and all that. But next will be they'll be going after his hosting provider and all those stuff. Those will be the next attack points, I'm sure. But what happens when things swing the other way? And there needs to be caution here on any time you're calling for censorship of content. It's I don't agree. Again, I haven't listened to his content. So I can't say that I agree or disagree with his content, but let's just say that I listen to it and I hate the content. Let me just use that as a hypothetical. If I hate the content, I have the right to respond to the content. I have the right to do public rebuttals. I have the right, obviously, to go after their sponsors, all that stuff that's typically that happens in these instances. I also have the right to be able to, I also realize he has the right to say it, even though I hate it. And again, I'm not just trying to justify what this guy is saying in his content, but there's a fine line. There's a fine line here somewhere, right? And, you know, what's next? Do we burn books? Do we go into newspapers and round up the staff and because we don't like what they're writing about? You know, Todd, that'll never happen. You're saying that'll never happen, but it has. History repeats itself. And we have to be careful here. And these platforms, Facebook, Apple, Spotify, they all have a right to have removed those. They're private, well, they're publicly held or private companies. Nothing's to say that, you know, there's nothing here against the law of them doing that. But at the same time, if they have other content on their site that's been, they've been called attention to, that they're not removing, and let's just hypothetically say that there was, like, obviously, the InfoWars stuff is hard right content. So let's say that there's someone, or radically right, let's use that word, if that's the appropriate way to say it. But what if there's a radically left content that is saying hateful things just the same? Has there been action taken upon those folks that are making commentary? There's been a lot of stuff in the news recently about a New York Times writer who has said some pretty hateful things too, but yet she still has her right and her job to post commentary for the New York Times. So I think what we're going to have to be careful here is of this slippery slope. We're going to have to watch, and I'll be the first to admit you have the right to say stuff. I can obviously not like it. I can obviously protest against it. I can obviously speak out against that content. But I don't think I want to deny someone the right to be able to say it. And are we going to get to that point? I don't know. You know, it's just like flag burners. Do I like flag burners? Absolutely not. I'm not, you know, I'm the type of guy that is very patriotic, and I want to protect the flag, and I want to make sure it flies and it's folded up correctly and stored and disposed of correctly when it's, you know, basically seen better days. But, do I have a problem with people having a right to do that? Nope, that's their right. They can stomp and trash a flag. That's their right to do so. I don't have to like it. So I think we just have to be careful here on the potential. Where's the line being drawn? And I think what I would love to see Apple, Facebook, Spotify, and everyone do is say, here are the instances. Here is the speech, or here is the commentary that got this guy's content pulled. I'd like to know specifics, because a lot of it is just generalities, and the majority of us have never listened to this guy's rhetoric. So, you know, started off with a few episodes, then people were still pushing and pushing, and then they removed more. And, so just think that it's a slippery slope here. And most of them, basically said it was for hate content, and, he was invoking, hatred or violence against a group of individuals based on their characteristics or maybe their sexual preference. And, you know, that is not acceptable. I agree with that. But at the same time, we have to know exactly where the line, you know, I'd like to know where the line is on this content. Am I wrong here? Am I on track? Do we have to make sure that we're not censoring content even if we hate it? I don't know. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this a little more. Yeah, as Rita says in the chat here, look at China when it comes to censorship and what Google is having to go through. You know, the government has dictated to Google this content will be censored. And that's not a slippery slope. That is pure, outright censorship. And we live in a very open society today. People are, you know, can be, go online and say just about anything. Those, you know, having those comments definitely come with ramifications. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, the way I kind of look at it, I've talked about this many times on this show, is I spent nearly 25 years in the Navy protecting people's rights to do stuff that I don't like. You know, I was out there serving to protect their right to burn the flag. I was protecting their right to have freedom of speech. You know, those things are pretty dear to me. And I do this show. I get to say what I want on this show. You can choose to listen, or you can choose to tune out, or you can choose to blast me. You know, that is, you know, that's your right to be able to do that. But I'm also not on this show invoking violence against a group of people. You know, I don't, that doesn't happen on this show. So I would, you know, but what if someone takes exception to even this commentary and calls for my show's removal from a platform because they don't like me defending freedom of speech? I know that's an extreme case here, but I'm sure there's going to be other shows out there that are going to be a little bit leaning politically one way or the other. They're probably going to have much more stronger opinions on this. You know, what's the steps can be taken against them for having an opinion? You know, again, I don't condone. And if someone, if I'm made aware of hate speech, you know, as a company owner, I have a reaction to it as well. But I definitely feel that individuals have the right to say it, even though I hate to hear it, and I have the right to be able to respond to it too. So anyway, I guess it's a mixed bag here. And I know that we're talking about a broad topic of, you know, being able to stand on a corner and spew your rhetoric and also being on your own platform and spewing rhetoric, and then being a guest on someone else's platform and spewing rhetoric as a guest on that platform, that guest privileges can be taken away. So I think that's where we're, you know, I'm not criticizing Apple, Facebook, and Spotify and YouTube for yanking the content. Let me be very clear on that. That's their right to do so. And they found content or reviewed content that they felt was hate speech. But where's the line? What was the trigger? You know, what was the specific incidences? You know, Spotify found 5 or 6 things out of a probably pretty massive library that they said, oh, these 5 or 6 episodes, definitely. But then, you know, today they came and said, we're pulling the whole thing. So anyway, love to hear comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, top Democrats have issued a warning against using Huawei or ZTE phones. Basically, DNC security officer Bob Lord warned against the usage of those devices, both for work and personal purposes. So do you guys, either any of you have an LTE or ZTE or Huawei phone? The emails understood have been sent under the recommendations of FBI Director Christopher Wray, who argued that all firms beholden to foreign governments that don't share our values should be prevented from acquiring any role in telecommunication networks across the United States. In response to the statement, Hawaii once again dismissed the allegation of posing a national security threat. Well, of course, But please, 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 please remember, if you own a ZTE or Huawei phone that's cheap, it's free, and very functional, why is that? Because it's backed by the Chinese government. So just be aware here, folks, okay? And but the DNC is saying don't use these phones in your campaign. Because they're worried about getting hacked by state actors. Oh, I think it's good advice. MoviePass. These, you know, my God, talking about a moving target here. MoviePass has announced that users will soon be limited to seeing just 3 movies a month. It's a major change for the current policy. It allows you to see a movie once a day. Its latest change to unlimited movie-going service as the company desperately tries to stay afloat in wake of problems like entirely running out of money last week. The new plan undoes some of the changes that MoviePass announced last week, including the $14.95 price increase. Instead, users on the new plan will be able to continue paying $9.95 a month, although be limited to just 3 movies. New plan goes into effect on August 15th. Monthly subscriber have a chance to subscribe to the new plan after the date when their current monthly subscription expires, while annual subscribers will be able to keep their existing plan until they're up for renewal. However, it seems that only subscribers to the new 3 movie a month plan will be exempt from movie pass surge pricing and ticket verification process. Also sticking around is the added limitations to seeing newly released movies. And I spent like an hour explaining to my wife why we couldn't go see Mission Impossible on MoviePass. And she says, it's allowed. I'm like, no, for 2 weeks, it's blocked. You can't. And then she's like, 2 hours later, you want to go see Mission Impossible? No, we can't. It's not on the MoviePass. So we're looking at the other movies available. And we're kind of like, to some of the offerings out there. Although I heard the Disney movie is pretty good, although it's not a lot of kids are going. It's pretty full of adults, and it has some innuendos. It almost makes it an adult type of movie. So I thought that was kind of curious. All right. For most of a decade, Google has been conspicuously absent from China. This includes all of Google's products and services, such as Search, Gmail, and so on. Of course, we reported in the last show that Google could be planning and relaunching in China, where they would create a censored version of Google Search that would appease or kiss the butts of the red Chinese government. I just love saying that because it makes some people that listen to this show very angry when I say that, the red communist Chinese government. Now, in a letter sent to Google CEO Sundar Pichai by Senator Marco Rubio and signed by other U.S. lawmakers, they expressed their concern that Google plans to relaunch in China would represent a coup for the Chinese government and how it presents a worrying precedent for other companies seeking to do business in China. Like, if you could do business in China, you have to hand over a lot of intellectual property, like that type of thing. It also expresses their concern about U.S. companies working with Chinese corporations that are linked to the Chinese government. Now, again, this Google search is only a rumor, but we'll see what the response is to the good senators. Airbnb. This is something I've never taken part of. How many of you stay at Airbnbs? I know Rob Greenlee has stayed at Airbnbs a lot when he was working down in Los Angeles and actually in Hollywood with Podcast One. He was talking about his experience with Airbnb, but Airbnb for work touts its business cred with nearly 700,000 companies on board. This is incredible. This is just amazing. Airbnb for work bookings tripled from 2015 to 2016, then tripled again from 16 to 17. It said nearly 700,000 companies have had employees sign up and book with Airbnb for work, adding that more than 275,000 are directly engaged with Airbnb to manage travel. People are also mixing work and fun. Airbnb said that more than 30% of Airbnb for work bookings include at least one weekend night or longer stay of at least 14 days. And some of the top destinations for business trips are London, Paris, Los Angeles, and New York. Yeah, you go to Paris on a trip on the company and you bring your wife along and she gets to stay in the Airbnb while you work. She shops or your significant other. So yeah, of course, everyone does that, right? They say we're seeing a massive continued growth of companies booking with Airbnb for work. And for me, I don't know. I'm just, I guess I'll have to try it, but I'm just kind of like, I like the convenience of hotels. I know what I'm going to get there. It's a known quantity. I stay at certain brands, I stay in certain chains, and the experience, maybe it's just a comfort zone thing. Maybe I'm getting old. How many do an Airbnb on business trips? It sounds like a lot. I know a lot of these Airbnbs are strictly set up. These properties are set up as Airbnb's properties. So it makes sense to me here that people are doing that. But I find it weird going into someone else's home that's actively being lived in. It kind of weirds me out a little bit. And I tell you what, people that do that, they're pretty gutsy. It's just letting strangers come into their house and stay. To me, how much snooping through people's stuff do people do, you know? And how much stuff do you have to sanitize from your guest? I guess it would make you be neat, right? I got stuff everywhere, you know? I'll be honest with you. Yeah, there's a metric ton of stuff, even in a studio. You know, as we're contemplating, and just as a heads up, there's, ongoing conversations here in my household about a departure from Hawaii next year. And as a matter of fact, we had a little household meeting on it tonight, talking about it and trying to figure out what we're going to do in the process. So, yep, it's tick-tock on that potential departure from Hawaii here, but it's been in work for a long time. 19 is the year, has been the goal for a while. So I just, kind of shudder having to think about packing this place up. I'm going to have to purge a lot of stuff. All right, NASA is looking for ideas. For 18 years, the International Space Station has been orbiting the orbiting zenith of Global Scientific Corporation has hosted a continuous human presence and thousands of science experiments. But the $100 billion laboratory won't last forever. President Donald Trump's proposal to withdraw federal funding in 2025 has jolted a discussion about its future. The idea of ending U.S. taxpayer role, U.S. taxpayers' role, the station costs more than $3 billion annually. I think that's cheap in the scheme of things. And a partnership with Russia, Europe, and Canada and Japan has stirred congressional opposition. And it's being asked, who might run the International Station if the government doesn't? The administration is betting on private enterprise to take over, freeing up billions to spend on Lunar Orbital Platform Gateway, a planned outpost designated to return U.S. astronauts to the moon in the 2020s and to Mars the following decade. So they're looking for ideas. So if you have an idea, NASA wants to hear it. So this is your opportunity to submit some interesting ideas over to the Google team. This next article is going to kind of blow you away here. Verizon didn't bother to write a privacy policy for its privacy protection VPN. Verizon's Safe Wi-Fi says it protects your privacy and blocks ad tracking. But its current privacy policy is a placeholder that says the exact opposite. Now, check this out. So, in the terms of service, McAfee's privacy note is available at, and explains McAfee's policies with respect to the collection, use, and disclosure of information related to or derived from your use of the Safe Wi-Fi app. Please read the privacy notes carefully and completely. It is incorporated by reference into the McAfee license agreement, and by using the Safe Wi-Fi app, you consent to the collection, use, and disclosure of your information as set forth in that policy. Since McAfee can't guarantee the security of your personal information, you acknowledge and agree that you provide it to McAfee Security at your own risk. Now, if you go down a little bit further, it basically talks about it basically digs in a little deeper, and their policy at McAfee states that McAfee and Verizon have the right to collect an ocean of data on the end user, including carrier data, Bluetooth device IDs, mobile device IDs, mobile advertising identifiers, MAC address, IMEI data, and more. The policy explicitly says that browsing history can be used to help target ads to you. They say we may use the information collected through our services, such as what websites you visit or the mobile application you use, to allow McAfee and others to show you ads that are targeted to your interests. Now, when they were pressed as to why consumers pay for a security and privacy tool that seems to encroach on consumer privacy, the company told Motherboard that the current privacy policy doesn't accurately reflect what's being collected. Please know that neither Verizon nor McAfee collect any personal data regarding its users or use of the Safe Wi-Fi VPN. So it's just, they're contradicting each other. So don't use the Verizon VPN called Safe Wi-Fi. Don't pay the $4 for it. Use another VPN out there. These guys are idiots. Surprise! Google shocked the world with a sudden Android 9 pixel push. So Google today unexpectedly started to roll out to masses its latest version of Android, dubbed Android 9 Pie. This major build of the mobile operating system is right now being released to Pixel devices as well as the Essential phone. Google says other Android devices will get the update over the course of the year. So if you got a Samsung device, you'll get it in about 2 years. We previously covered the version 9 features on this website at the Register, but there's a few things here you want to pay attention to. It basically prioritizes battery power for your most used apps, sets brightness to how you like it depending on your settings, offer action in apps based on your previous activities. Later this year, show slices of apps and other apps. For example, search for Lyft in Google and displays a small section from the Lyft application with the ride prices and so on. The system navigation bar is a single home button and the ability to swipe up to see an overview of the device. Options displayed for selected text depend on the context and meaning of the words. For example, if you highlight the name of a restaurant, you'll be offered to search for Yelp reviews of the place and other stuff. So Android 9 Pixel is Android 9 Pie has been pushed. The Justice Department warns of higher pay TV prices in AT&T Time Warner appeal. No kidding. The agency believes the district court that allowed the deal to happen relied on two fundamental errors. First, decision. So the U.S. Department of Justice filed its opening brief of its appeal, which is designed to prevent or break up AT&T's acquisition of Time Warner. The Justice Department claims the initial ruling rested on two fundamental errors, including the economics of bargaining, which includes how a provider like DirecTV would negotiate for rates with cable companies like TNT or CNN, as well as how multiple divisions could cooperate to maximize profits. The agency warned that American consumers will pay hundreds of millions of dollars a year more for pay television services as distributors pass on their higher cost. The appeal was a surprise given AT&T's complete victory over the agency in June. Most industry observers expected Judge Richard Leon to dictate concessions to the telecom provider in his ruling, but Leon ruled in favor of AT&T without any stipulations and admonished his department for such a weak case. And the DOJ is not giving up. It's 170. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Lawyers will be back in court. All right, you got a list of best Chromebooks as of August 2018. Have that linked up in the show notes for you as provided by AndroidCentral.com. Also got a good article from CNET talking about the Inside the Boot Camp for Reforming Teenage Hackers. It's a UK program offering young cyber criminals alternative detention and hopes to turn them into legit tech professionals. And so this is kind of cool. So they're taking hackers that have gotten caught who range between 14 and 19 years old. And they're trying to make them ethical hackers. The cyber crimes division says parents have no clue what their kids are doing. And oftentimes come as a big shock that they're getting rolled up and arrested. But this is a new type of R&R called rehab and recruitment. So they're trying to turn these kids' skills into talent that can be used to actually do law and order here. So very, very cool stuff going on in the UK. I think this is an awesome program. I'll let you read through it yourself. Show is available via the show notes. All right, how many of you actually use a mobile payment system? How many of you are actually using Apple Pay or Cash App from Square or Venmo or Facebook P2P payments and Messenger? I didn't even know you could send cash in Messenger to like about a week ago when I saw that as an option under info. Zelle, are you guys using Zelle? You know, I think I've used Apple Pay on vending machines. I think that's the only place I've used Apple Pay is on a vending machine to get a Coke or a sandwich or something. Where are you using Apple Pay at? Love to hear your notes. Love to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. According to TechCrunch, the FCC admits it was never actually hacked. The FCC has come clean in the fact that a purported hack of its comment system last year never actually took place. After a report from its inspector general found a lack of evidence supporting the idea, Chairman Ajit Pai blamed the former chief information officer and the Obama administration for providing inaccurate information about the incident. The semi-apology and finger-pointing are disappointing conclusions to the year-long web of obfuscation that the FCC has woven since the first moment was reported. There's been a hack of the system, that there was a hack of the system. There have been questions about the nature, scale, and response to it. The FCC has studiously avoided even under direct congressional questioning. GAO was officially asked to look into it. The letter requesting the office help at the time complained that the FCC had not really released any records or documentation that would allow for confirmation that an attack occurred. The former CIO, David Bray, was the origin of the theory, but emails obtained by American Oversight in June showed that evidence for it and similar claims from 2014 were thin. Nevertheless, the FCC has continued to upheld the idea that it was under attack and has never publicly walked it back. So, they weren't hacked, then what happened? Someone put out information that wasn't true. Okay. Whatever you say. A little late. Best search protectors in 2018. So I know you all pay a lot of attention to your electronics. I do here. Matter of fact, my APC, I love APC backup devices. I'm a big fan of APC UPS units. I've had one. I've got three of them in this office alone. And I have one CyberPower. CyberPower is awesome for very expensive electronics. But you're going to pay a serious premium for CyberPower UPS that puts out a little bit different type of a waveform. But the UPSs that I'm using from APC are great. Matter of fact, and the one that's been here for many, many years, it just warned me yesterday that the batteries in it are going bad. I've got replacement batteries already in my storage unit. I got to go down and grab a couple to replace these and then get the bad ones disposed of. But I think basically using a good UPS is really, really smart for your PC devices and protects you from those days that you're having power situations, which occur to all of us at this point. How many of you actually ordered something from your Amazon smart home device? Well, It appears only a small fraction, this is according to the information.com website, that only 2% of people that use the device with Amazon's Alexa intelligent assistant actually use it to purchase stuff. I don't think most of us trust to order something. I really don't. I think we'd rather go to the website, eyeball it, check it, make sure the price is good, make sure shipping is free before we press that buy button. I just don't feel that I would trust the device to do it correctly. How many of you have? I think that's why the adoption rate's so low. Over in Android Central, they got a OBD2 car adapter. Of course, the OBD2 adapter is basically designed to plug into your car. And so if you have a car that's newer than the mid-90s, you most likely have an OBD2 port. And for $99, you can get this, and it tracks everything. And it reports back via 3G. These are great devices if you've got a new driver at home and you want to see how they're driving, if they're speeding, if they're braking hard, if they're going out of bounds, if you've set boundaries to where they can travel to. All kinds of cool stuff here. $99 on Amazon. Available now. Link will be up in the show notes. Also, the folks at the Times of India, and I don't know how, Kirk, you found this one. Best headphones in the world that everyone would love to own. And the only one I really agree with in here is the Bose SoundSport wireless headphones. I love these headphones. They're great for the gym. They're great for really anywhere. But they're a little pricey. But I love these headphones. I really, really do. The over-the-ear ones by Bose are nice too, depending if you like them wired or wireless. But the Quiet Comfort 35 2 wireless headphones are pretty nice as well. Not a fan of the Jabra or Beats. I know some of you like the Beats stuff. I think the Beats stuff is a little overpriced, to be honest with you, based on the quality of the sound I've heard from different headphones I've worn over the years. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes here. Verge has a good article on the home of the future and how smart homes are being pre-manufactured now and what you can expect. If you're willing to not have such a big house, but have something that is pretty smart internally and allows you to live a little cleaner. So very, very cool here on what they've got set up. And pretty inexpensive units that was shipped to you via semi anywhere in the country. So let's talk about mobile prices. Do you think mobile prices are going to go up? You know, the iPhone 10, everyone thought it was going to be a total flop. Well, not so fast. In this recent earnings report, nothing but praises by Tim Cook, said that the iPhone 10 outsold every other Apple device in each week since it went on sale in November of 17. With strong iPhone 10 sales, Apple proved the mainstream buyers are willing to pay almost as much, if not more, for the cell phones as they would for a powerful laptop. And with rumors of an even pricier 2018 iPhone 10 Plus style phone coming down the pike, September's Apple moves to usher in the era of $1,000 phones may just be getting underwear. It is crazy. I didn't ask my son how much he paid for his, but I'm betting it's a grand. And be my first real, I'm going to try to get my hands on it. I haven't, and I've been in the Apple store and played with an iPhone 10, but I still can't get over the ability of being able to use my thumb to unlock the device. Hey, over in Extreme Tech, if you live in urban America, car subscriptions, and we've covered this before, but there's a new update here on what a car subscription plan cost. And this is a good deal for people that don't need a vehicle all the time and something to look at. I'm thinking, you know, this may be a replacement for leases. I don't know at some point, but there's definitely some cool features here with car subscriptions, especially if you live in an area where you don't need a vehicle that often. T-Mobile has updated its unlimited plan and cut out some of the extras. Today, T-Mobile announced a new plan called Essentials, which is advertised at just $30 per line for a family of four and includes unlimited talk, text, and data. It's geared toward customers that just want the basics. T-Mobile other unlimited plans include mobile hotspots, Netflix, and more for $40 or more per line for a family of four. The price breakdown as follows. The first line on T-Mobile Essentials costs $60, while the second line costs $30. Each line after that, for a total up to six lines, costs $15 per month. But if you don't have autopay set up, it costs you $5 more. So good on T-Mobile for keeping pushing the envelope here. Amazon's Alexa's new answer update will feature will notify you when keyword from Amazon learns something new. So this feature, you ever asked your smart home device something and they basically said, I can't answer that? Well, you've got the ability now to turn on this feature so that it, when it does have an answer, it can give you an answer, which is kind of interesting. So I wonder if Amazon's collecting those questions that it can't answer and is programmatically adding them as more questions accumulate in the same type of question vein. So very, very interesting feature here from the Amazon folks. Also, many folks are having problems with the latest Skype update, and they really were complaining about Skype 7.0 being retired next month. So Microsoft says that classic Skype will live on for now. And Skype Classic, as it's known, will continue now working beyond September 1st. But based on customer feedback, we're extending support for Skype 7 for some time. No exact dates on when they're going to decommission it. But let's give people that did not like 8, they had problems with it and selecting the right type of devices and so forth. We'll have a reprieve here for a little bit. Also, the Pixel 3 launch date has been leaked courtesy of Google. Unveiling will take place on October 4th for the third year in a row. So if you're a Pixel 3 or Pixel fan, be aware of that date. Finally, new iPad Pro details revealed in iOS 12 beta suggest a stunning design upgrade. In all likelihood, it's not a long wait until Apple unveils its latest gadgets, perhaps just a few weeks. It could be that along with the multiple new iPhones. And they potentially will release the iPad Pro with Face ID. And they've been rumors of a repositioned fingerprint sensor, something which made no sense to many commenters. But with some sleuthing skills of some folks revealed on 9 to 5 Mac that the code in the latest developer's beta seems to confirm the earlier suggestion that the front of the next iPad Pro will be all screen and indeed will come with Face ID. But if you thought that was all they could find, it's basically thinking Face ID is present in the next mysterious tablet release. As noted elsewhere, I don't think speak fluent code, but he does. All right, that's what he just said. That's reconfirming what they... Oh, there'll be no an iPad with no home button. So some of the visual elements from iPhone 10. What else? Anyway, that we'll see when they release it. But are you due for an iPad upgrade? Might be time to bust that credit card out. All right, let me see what we've got for comments here. And I apologize on that last article. I think that's... No, you guys don't love me. No email. You're listening. I see the stats. Hey, becoming an insider is going to become more critical as time goes on. And I hope that you'll consider becoming an insider at geeknesscentral.com/insider. Every dollar that you contribute to the show via that page goes right back into paying for Kirk, for my executive producer, who does a lot of the show prep for me. So today I think I only found 3 or 4 articles that I wanted to add to the show and from what he had found. And I only dropped a couple of his. And of course, my writing team as well. the money that comes in from the insider basically pays that part of that bill. And I hope that you will consider becoming an insider here. Again, we can do remarkable things. If just the entire audience stepped up at $2 or $5 a month, I mean, at five, wow. I mean, like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. We could, it would be like, you know, we could build a brand new studio. I mean, a huge studio. And, we're not there yet. So I hope that you'll consider becoming an insider at geeknesscentral.com/insider. If you like the commentary, definitely consider supporting the show financially. It would be, I'd definitely appreciate it myself. And it helps keeping the show sustainable over a long, long time. All right. Okay. Let me get out of here. I'll be back with you on Thursday for another show, another live show. Of course, the show gets released every Tuesday and Friday morning. And I want to thank all of you for hanging with me today. It's been my pleasure to bring the podcast to you. A little shorter than the last show, just in an hour, a little bit close to an hour. Last show was an hour 15, but I didn't have soapbox time as much tonight as I did last show. Love to hear your comments on the entire lineup of content. You know, definitely talked about censorship and it being a slippery slope. Talked about Hawaii and ZTE on DNC warning list. We talked about MoviePass and their ever-changing deal. And of course, senators wanting answers about what's going on with Google and China, amongst other topics tonight. If you've got commentary on those topics or more, definitely drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure bringing the show. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Aloha.